Welcome to the show.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Podcasting from Cafe Anyway, somewhere in Podcastro Valley, the last recording.
Mike's Daily Podcast.
Bermuda Triangle time. What the heck is going on? I'm trying to record this podcast, and all sorts of stuff is happening with the song. And I am recording this as well on a recording device for video. Heck. What? It's Mike's show that's called
Mike's Daily Podcast.
I am Mike Matthews. Opponents of California's congressional redistricting argued their case in ads
Mike's
that voters
Daily
received
podcast
in their mail.
Yeah.
Immediately before or after the legislature approved a constitutional amendment and map for a November 4th special election. This from AOL.com. I've never read, ever read a story from AOL.com. Ever. This is the very first time that I can remember. I mean, it might have been like 20 years ago I read an AOL, but this story was here. They're spending up to $100 million to defeat Proposition 50. And Gavin Newsom is leading the effort to redistrict after Texas decided to do so to gain 5 Republican seats in the U.S. House. Newsom and other top Democrats in California are seeking to redraw congressional districts so that the Democrat Party will gain 5 seats to counter Texas's move. The Texas legislature passed its redistricting map over the weekend. All right. I clicked that story off because AOL was messing up my computer big time. Oh, Rocky the cat is just showing up and is sitting on my lap. I bring up that story because I received in the mail over the weekend, like immediately after this was all said and done.
And here's today's podcast picture.
One of the groups, the podcast picture is of, what should we do it, Rocky? Should we do it at a view? Maybe we'll have a Rocky the picture cat. See it at mikesdailypodcast.com. Oh, he's on my lap. He's demanding attention as cats do. And he's telling me he wants attention by digging his claws into my body. Here's one of them. And this came from protectfairelections.org. Also, Right Path California, name of the company, organization. The late great Basil the Boxer did not like cats. Well, he wanted to chase them often. And a couple cats smacked him in the face just randomly while we're walking down the street in Podcastro Valley. They'd walk up to him and smack him in the face. They like to do that to the late great Basil the Boxer. Rocky, you wouldn't have done that, would you? We got Rocky about 2 years after we lost Basil, so they never met. But this one ad says, alert, politician power grab. While California families struggle with soaring costs and the state sinks deeper into deficit, Governor Newsom and the legislature are scheming to take redistricting power away from our Independent Citizens Redistricting Commission. The plan?
Life grab.
Oh, such a grand plan. A $200 million statewide special election. Yes, $200 million. They're going to say that number over and over and over again. And, it says, to give politicians the power to redraw congressional redistricts for their own advantage. I have not heard a radio commercial for this yet. But you know, it's going to have the really serious music. Ta-da! And you hear some woman sounding really concerned and overly concerned Karen going, oh, they're trying to do a power grab in California. Gavin Newsom's done it again. Something like that. It's going to sound, just the most trite sort of political ads. Well, just in general, the type of commercials that just disgust me. But there they are. They will do it. And let's see, the other side. I mean, this is huge. It's that thick paper. It's almost like cardboard. And they use both sides, full color, on unconstitutional gerrymandering, it says, on one side. On the other side, Californians know that if politicians draw their own districts, they can rig their re-election and become unaccountable to voters. That's why we made gerrymandering unconstitutional by overwhelmingly approving the Voters First Act for Congress. News
random.
The news random banning politicians from drawing congressional districts. Let's see. Another one says gerrymandering is wrong no matter who does it. Okay. So if you're a Republican that just sent me this and spent all this money, $200 million, on sending this to me, actually, they spent $100 million, but still. So they're complaining that Newsom's spending $200 million, yet they're spending half that to go after and change people's minds about voting yes on it. They're saying that gerrymandering is wrong no matter who does it, yet it is Republicans that are doing it in Texas, or have done it, and they were successful in doing it in Texas. So, tit for tat.
Mike Scavenger Hunt.
I guess is what I have found here. And the same thing, Sacramento politicians, blah, 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 the Sacramento power grab, all these type of terms. You're going to hear this. Partisan gerrymandering. They're going to say that over and over again. This is from protectfairelections.org. Oh, Right Path, California. They keep saying the .org thing, but it's really Right Path, California. And looking up information about Right Path, California just takes
for
me...
For your entertainment, the one...
What?
The only, Mike Matthews.
Thank you. Doesn't get me anywhere except for the fact that it's... They're spending money on this whole fighting the gerrymandering thing in California. The last ad I got about this thing is from fppc.ca.gov.
The mic tip.
And my tip to you is that stands for Protect Voters First. Oh no, it stands for Hold Politicians Accountable, Fair Political Practices Commission. It says on their website, when voters passed the Political Reform Act, they simultaneously created the FPPC to administer and enforce the landmark ethics law.
Wow, just wow.
As well as inform and assist public officials, employees, and candidates to comply with its provisions. Oh, specifically, the act gives the FPPC authority to adopt, amend, and rescind rules and regulations to carry out the purpose of the act. So the act paid for this humongous ad that came to me on almost cardboard paper? Interesting. California, what a state. You know what's not in California? The Sphere. They got that epic Wizard of Oz Las Vegas spectacle. And according to the New York Post, they went to it. And they say there's no place like Sphere. A hotly anticipated Las Vegas Sphere residency for the Wizard of Oz kicks off. If you are listening to this on, I think, Wednesday. Oh, it will happen tomorrow if you're listening to this on Wednesday. But it's happening Thursday, August 28th, putting the beloved 1939 Hollywood classic not just back on the screen, but at the highest resolution
your
screen.
Newsbleed section.
Yes, in the newsbleed section here, we tell you the highest resolution screen in the world, stretching more than 16,000. How about 160,000 square feet? Feature seats that move with the action and sound blasted at 167,000 crystal clear out of 167,000 crystal clear speakers. Interesting. The man who famously sketched the initial design of the Sphere in a notebook before turning it into one of the most talked about entertainment venues on Earth. It turns the Time Worm story... Time Worm? Oh. And then there's those other worms in the news. No, we don't need worms like that. That the screw worms. What the heck? Hopefully we get that taken care of. Toot sweet. The Time Worm story of Dorothy and her eclectic...
The Micropedia Insanica.
as I look at my notes here, it's not an eclectic gland. It's an eclectic gang of gals. And not a gang of gals, but a gang of pals. Is what it says here in the Micropedia Insanica. We engage in everything but taste and smell, they say. They worked, they had experts who had been tapping their ruby slippers together for countless hours to construct the immersive $104 and up ticket experience, sparing no expense along the way. You'll feel the wind from the tornado. They actually have gusts and fog that envelop the space at one point, powered by a 12-foot tall fan. Oh, several 12-foot tall fans with 750... horsepower each. And when the ground shakes, that's programmed into your chair as well. The auditorium's 10,000 haptics enabled seats are in this
Matthew's News.
The news continues. The massive venue soars 366 feet high. There will be, let's see, getting the rights was the easy part. Apparently, they say. And it was an exciting, this Wizard of Oz thing, an exciting follow-up to their buzzy residencies by U2. That's right, I saw some of that, even though it didn't have the original drummer with them. And the Backstreet Boys, as well as director Darren Aronofsky's immersive Postcard from Earth. That guy does the most disturbing movies. He did that movie Pi. And if you don't think that's disturbing, then the Revelry thing was wow. And the Wrestler and all the other ones he did. So they got Ben Grossman to do some of the visual effects. He is an Oscar-winning...
That's a nightmare of a show.
...visual guy who will try not to make it a nightmare of a show. And they... transform the nearly century-old movie, yes, almost a century-old, into a cutting-edge, all-encompassing experience, having actual fire and literal flying monkeys. So that is all part of it. And then the project nearly hit the yellow brick wall and was about to be abandoned. After extensive work with a prototype, the team was able to showcase the results to the Sphere for the first time, but it didn't go well. We were feeling really good about ourselves because we're classic Hollywood cinema professionals. But then they had a horrifying moment when they viewed the original movie shot with a limited 1.37 to 1 aspect ratio. The cat is back, by the way. If you were watching the video, which
first
you find.
First of all, I just want to just thank everyone for joining us here on this show. This is great.
Mike'sDailyPodcast.com. You can go to the Facebook page, too, which I have a link to at my website, Mike'sDailyPodcast.com. And that's where you'll find the video. On a screen that nobody could have dreamed of back in 1939, they're taking that 1.37 to 1 aspect ratio and blowing up big time. It felt like a Saturday morning cartoon. We got the wind knocked out of us. But then, like a burst of wisdom from Auntie M herself, a participating tech whiz on loan from Google DeepMind had a sudden brainwave. I combined this approach and I came up with this new thing, and you can tell me if it's good. And then they were like, okay, the result was using AI outpainting to expand on scenes. Oh, the AI helped. What a surprise. From Google DeepMind, using AI, what a shock. There's AI in everything. I'm going to whine for just a second.
The whiny white man whine list.
Oh, my gosh. May I whine about some of the stuff? YouTube has the worst commercials, and 90% of them are AI, AI visually, AI voiced. You know, they spend the least amount. They probably get hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of advertisers, and Google probably says no to nobody. And then, you know, they want to niche it to you or me or whatever. because they know particular things that we like. And hey, all of a sudden I'm getting a million jerky ads. Why is that happening? Or, oh, you see this video, if you saw that what's happening on your chopping board, you would get, you'd run for the hills. Don't use your chopping board ever again. Don't chop anything ever again. Don't ever cook. Don't.
Why do they always interrupt our snacking? You're a demon.
Speaking of movies, that was the big movie this past weekend. And it was like already a TV show that everybody had seen on Netflix. That's amazing. Netflix is laughing all the way to the bank with that K-pop demon hunter thing. All right. And I think it was done in the theaters because somebody had the brilliant idea, hey, people want to sing, they want to do the whole... it goes back decades and decades to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, what people were doing in theaters with that. And there have been some other movies more recently where people start to sing along with the what's happening up on the screen and getting involved. So they took a chance, made a gamble, and who won? Netflix and all the movie theaters that included this. But back to this thing that's happening, that seems like a lot of money being poured into this to bring some massive experience. And it may be interesting to see if anybody's going to go to Vegas for that. Oh, meanwhile, not Vegas, but the other gambling city in the general area, Reno, Nevada. Reno Tahoe Airport is getting inundated by all the people that are about to go to Burning Man. Oh my gosh. Good luck with that. Not me. That's never been for me. No. You know, I may or may not have had my heart broken by women that like to go to Burning Man, that kind of thing. I guess I'm resentful to Burning Man because of those implications. The Wicked Witch of the West is skywriting and normally says Surrender Dorothy, but in the original cut it says Surrender Dorothy, but now it says Surrender Dorothy or Die. And it was that in the original cut it said that though, Surrender Dorothy or Die, but it was cut because it was too dark for pre-war audiences. So they put it back in. What's the cliche of the week? That's interesting. I never knew that story. What's the cliche of the week? That they had cut it for the pre-war audiences. What's the cliche of the week? Oh, the cliche is just Burning Man. Burning Man is a cliche. Going to the middle of the desert when it's still the summertime. That's cliche. That's what is the point. But if you want to go to the other part of the desert in Las Vegas, which is always cliche, what's the cliche of the week? You can check out this what's the cliche of the week? Wizard of Oz thing. What's the cliche of the week? Apparently they split the vocals and re-recorded the music with an actual orchestra in the original MGM Studios. It was a movie made by MGM originally. They have the rights and they've made buko bucks off of it since. Which, if you watch the very fantastic independently made YouTuber created documentary by Yesterworld, they did a fantastic look at the making of The Wizard of Oz, and oh, it was so well done. I love it, that little not DIY, I guess kind of DIY, independent, small time type person. It's not a big movie company making it. It's a YouTuber, a young talent that made this fantastic documentary. I love that kind of stuff. That's the stuff I love watching YouTube for, is the little documentaries that people make, the little mini independent documentaries. And they were saying that it made no money when it was originally released. Very little money. It was all the re-releases that MGM did over the years that it got bigger and bigger. And then, of course, when it was on TV every year, it became an event. Oh, my gosh, it's coming back onto TV. And then VHS, it was eventually released on VHS, and people got excited. And DVD. And every time it got released on some format, there was a lot of excitement about it. Because it was one of the first movies to do all this amazing stuff
with color, and it starts off in black and white, more of a sepia tone, and then turns into color. The first time we heard it, I started to cry. It was so emotional.
Oh my gosh!
The bottom of the chart.
Pretty good, a song that never made it on the radio because people didn't think they were worth it. But you know what? They come back up and people start playing them, and it's like, where'd that come from?
Do you know what song was not on the bottom of the charts? In fact, it was way up on the charts. Top of the charts in the late 80s was The Lady in Red by Christa Berg. And I recently reheard that song play, and it just got me, moved me to tears. I'm like, wait, what the heck? No. Why is that happening? What is it? And I think part of it was my mom was a big fan of that song, and I lost my mom about 3 years ago. So I was just remembering her. That's what songs do. That's what songs do. They bring back memories. Ain't it funny how a melody can bring back a memory? And though that song I'm just quoting from by Clint Black, State of Mind, was not on the bottom of the country charts, it actually did really well. It never made it on the pop charts, I don't think. But something that didn't also quite make it onto the pop charts was the great stuff by the Bare Naked Ladies. Sorry, I'm right by the B section. One of the songs they released, It's All Been Done Before. A lot of what I see in popular culture, I agree with the Bare Naked Ladies on that. That was not a huge, huge hit. It was the second single off of that album Stunt that had the one week that you looked at me, something, the rug burn song and all that. But it was a great, one of the best songs on that album that is really bottom of the charts quality, or not quality, but it qualifies for the bottom of the charts because it was on the bottom of the charts. It was a great song though. Call and Answer. Oh, that's such a great song. And there was a story about how the keyboard player actually had cancer and was going through chemo and had to leave the band for a while. And they were doing a concert, and they didn't think he was going to make it to the concert. And during that song, Call and Answer, he suddenly showed up and started playing the keyboard. And the singer, I think it was Stephen Page, who's the lead singer, he started to cry on stage. Tears, everybody. Lots of tears stories today. So I guess I'll end it with that and this other last bit about this Sphere thing. With 120,000... tickets sold as the premiere is happening tomorrow. If you are catching this podcast on Wednesday, August the 27th, yes, there is the big premiere is going to have the Aussiean guests like Lorna Luft, the daughter of Judy Garland, who played Dorothy in the movie, and the team finds themselves with one last obstacle to overcome. And that is, I read all the negative comments, and I think some people would get depressed or demoralized from it, but I actually think it's funny. You're watching people talk about something that they haven't seen. 90% of that stuff they say is just made up and not true, says one of the people working on that, the Sphere. Thank you, New York Post, for that article and a bit of what it is entails to put on such a big extravaganza, trying to make Las Vegas a destination for other than just the gambling and expensive, super expensive hotels and restaurants and those big people that do residencies, the big singers and celebrities and musicians and whatnot, entertainers that stay there in Vegas for a while, racking up the money. The Sphere, 160,000 square feet, and it's going to cost $104 to go see it. That's the least expensive ones. Some people may go see Lady Gaga and Bruno Mars as the summer wraps up. The most expensive concert tickets were those concert tickets. The average cost of a ticket for that, $254.29. Lady Gaga's Mayhem Ball Tour VIP package in some markets cost as much as $22,000. What? And then there was an Oasis reunion tour. Their resale tickets were for over $7,400. And finally, we're spending a lot of money on ice cream. 53%, over half of people, report living paycheck to paycheck, but ice cream spending is up. In May of this year, Americans spent $31 a month on ice cream. And that was a almost 27% increase from the month earlier, the highest monthly total since 2023. And Gen Z and millennials are the main reason for the uptick. Look who's outside a cafe anyway, somewhere in Podcaster Valley, the last place on earth in the land of Emeritopica. Hi, Mark! It's Benita the Rodeo Queen! How y'all doing?
It's a Discordal Field player, tell you what.
What?
Yeah, Nilly's here too. Hey, so yeah, all that stuff about monkeys flying through the air and all that, it scares the you know what out of me. So I just want you to stop talking about the whole Oz thing, if you could, please, kindly.
Sure. Look who else is here.
Hello, Mark. I make the least stupid half the right now.
Brewmaster, let me try a sip. Oh. That one was a little warm, but still very good. You must have just made it there in the root beer vats downstairs in the big root beer factory brewery downstairs, the root beer brewery.
Yeah, downstairs. It's a lot of fun. Drink right now. I'll cut you.
All right. Hey, a flying monkey just flew by, which reminds me, it's time to wrap up the show. Next show, it'll be the wonderful Madame Rutabaga Valentino and Bison Bentley. You can call me with any comments you would like to make.
Call Mike at the Cafe Anyway hotline. Area code 510-228-4640.
Will you shut up? Liberty Nation Freedom Foam for All.
I'm William Shep, and here's Mike with an interesting tidbit of info.
Yeah, as we wrap up the show, if you catch the show on Camera Radio in the Camarillo area in Ventura County, definitely check out the latest issue of the Ventura County Reporter because, well, there's an article all about Camera Radio, and that is awesome. It's very seldom that radio stations ever get press from any kind of newspaper. As someone who's been in radio for over 35 years, I know that for a fact. Although I did get written up once in the Reporter because of a very cool guy named Chris J., who wrote about me. He had a band called Chris J and the Army of Freshmen, and he did a little article about me when I was working at KHE doing the Santa Fe Cafe. But Alex Wilson wrote this great article about Camera Radio, and I used to work with Alex for like 13, 14 years, some crazy amount of time. A really nice guy. So awesome. Congrats to Barry. Congrats to everyone who's on Camera Radio. For more information about Mike's Daily Podcast, we go to the mainframe and hear from A-Frame. Thank you for listening.
Mike's Daily Podcast is written and produced and performed by Mike Matthews. His podcast is super easy to find. Download or listen to his show and read his blog at mikesdailypodcast.com.
Email Mike now at mikesdailypodcast@gmail.com.
See you tomorrow. Bye.